You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Second Timothy 3, we're going to start reading in chapter 1, we're going to go through to 8, and then I'm also going to read Proverbs 5, but they'll come up on the board there. And so this week I am preaching revival in Brixton. Keep that in prayer. I just started this morning, and so we saw about 5 people give their life to Jesus, and so that was powerful. So keep us in prayer, and that God will move there. Nowadays, I believe it is, if you are looking to get your driving license now, it's a lot more difficult than when I was trying to get my driving license back a long time ago. And nowadays you do a theory, I believe. Is that right? You do a theory and then you do the practical. Am I still tracking? Okay. When I went for my driving lesson, it was a lot more simpler than that. You only had to do one test. And so you did a test, did your driving test, and so you got in the car with the instructor. The instructor just said, you didn't have to do this theory first. You just that was it. You just went to the place, and he was going to do your test, and get in the car, and the instructor would say, okay, go forward until I tell you to go left or right or whatever, and you go forward. And at some point during the session, he would say, okay, park here, do a parallel park, three-point turn, all of those things, start on a hill, stop on a hill. And then at the end, what he would do is he would just pick out these pieces of paper, and they'd have a few signs on them. So it'd have a sign with a man, you know, the workman sign with red around it. And he would ask you, what does that sign mean? And you would tell him what it meant. You know, there's roadworks ahead. Then he'd have another sign, and he would bring these signs out, and he would just ask you. And then that was your test done. There was no theory test that you had to go. That was it. He was just about 3 or 4 of these signs. And what he was testing is, could you recognize these signs? Could you understand the signs? And so when you was going for your test, what you would do is you would study this thing called the highway code. And we know what that is. And so, I mean, I knew that highway code back to front. I knew I was going for my test, and so I would read that highway code. I would memorize all the signs. I would test myself. The words were underneath the sign, so I just cover up the words. What is that? That's that. And so then, oh yeah, I've got it right. And so I knew, I'll be honest with you, we're recording this, so maybe I shouldn't say, but if I'm honest, I probably knew the signs better then than I do now. And that was 22 years ago, a long time ago. But what they were testing is, could you read the signs? Because they understand is, if you can't read signs, if you don't understand what's going on with the signs, it's going to be dangerous. We're talking about having healthy relationships. And healthy relationships come from healthy people. If you want to build healthy relationships, you've got to be healthy, and the person you want to build the relationship has to be a healthy person. And so I want to minister on healthy people, and I want to speak a little bit about, can you read the signs? Look at someone and say, can you read the signs? Can you see the signs of what a healthy person is or not? Because otherwise, you're going to get into relationships with some people that could cause you some problems. And so, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through to 8, the Bible says, But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. And from such people, turn away. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, also learning, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me read Proverbs 5, verse 3 as well. For the lips of a strange woman, this is in the King James, the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou cast, you cannot know them. Remove your way far from her. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your anointing. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in our church. I pray, Father, you would continue to do marvelous work here. I pray, Father, you would save, you would reveal, open our eyes. Father, I pray that you'd heal our hearts. Let us hear your word. Let us understand the dynamics of relationships. Father, we pray that we would be healthy people and we would discern healthy people. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. I've read these two scriptures today, and the reason why I picked these two scriptures to speak about healthy relationships, because last week we looked at having a healthy relationship, you have to have a healthy heart. How many believe that? You have to have a healthy heart, and we're not talking about that thing pumps blood around. We're talking about your inner man, your inner being. The thing that people say, with all of my heart, or I love you with all of my heart, or where the Bible says, all your heart. That has to be healthy. You have to be healthy on the inside. But today what I want to look at is healthy people and understanding about healthy people. Now, in these two texts, it speaks about perilous times, and it speaks about these people that are doing all this wickedness. And what he says in there, he says this. He says, in the last days, there's going to be these people. And he says, these men that creep into people's houses, and basically they latch onto vulnerable women. These are creeps. That's what the Bible says. They're creeps. Then in the King James, it says, not only are the men, ladies, how many of you met a creep? Ooh, okay. That's quiet. But also, the Bible speaks about the strange woman. The strange woman, the Bible says that here is this woman, and it calls her the strange woman, and she's seductive. There's certain things about her. You bring her into your life, and your life will be destroyed. And so the Bible is warning us about the creep and the strange woman. It tells us to turn away from such people. It tells us, listen, he says, remove yourself from them. Did it not say that? Did it not say that? Yeah? Amen. Tells us, listen, there are certain people you need to be careful of. Now, many times when we come to church, we think, oh, but the Bible loves everybody, and God tells us to love everybody. He does love everybody. And we are meant to love everybody. But the Bible also warns us that when you are building relationships, when you are becoming one with people, when you are in unity with people, you need to be careful of those that you bring deeper and deeper into your life. See, this is why many, many people have gone through very, very difficult circumstances, because they haven't obeyed what the Bible says. They can't read the signs of specific people. The Bible is warning us. I think one of the difficulties is that in our generation, we have a gift box mindset. When I was working in Next many years ago, one of my first jobs I ever got was in Next. And so back then I was into music, into hip-hop. I used to do music and all of that, making he had a studio, and we were trying to make mixtapes and do all of these things. And so I'm working in Next, and this guy came into me. I was a younger guy then, amen. And so so this guy came in, a very posh guy. I was working in the, it looked like his suit, business, middle-aged guy. And he says, do you rap? And I was like, do I rap? I thought, who's this brother, man? Does he know I'm a rapper? And so I was ready to break it down to the hip. Ha. But then about to break into song, and then I was really like, hold up. He means, do I gift wrap? Will I, if he buys something, will I wrap it for him? How many know, sometimes you're just going to take your time. How many know, sometimes you're just going to take your time when you deal with things. Praise God. See, we live in a generation where we're all about the gift wrap. We're all about what it looks like on the outside. We're all about the gift wrap. Have you ever received a gift from someone and it looked so nice that it was professionally gift wrapped, but when you open it, you was a little bit disappointed? Don't turn to no one and say, yeah, don't nudge nobody, but you know and I know. Because the reality is I could wonderfully gift wrap a lemon. But when you open it, there's just a lemon inside of it. See, we have this gift wrap mentality. What I mean is we just look at the outside of things. We just look at the outside. And this is a big problem because this is not how God sees things. God is not like this. If you have a gift wrap mindset, what it means is there's a saying, form over substance. Form over substance. What that means is it looks good, but when you go into it, there's not really much in it. It doesn't have any substance. It doesn't actually add to your life. It doesn't help you, but it looks really good. It's formed well, but it doesn't have any substance. Form over function. It doesn't have a function. So you've got to be very careful, because you could see a woman who is beautiful and she has all the bells and whistles that a man would like. You could see a man who is handsome and he seems to have all of everything. He's got the six-pack and the BMW. And if you've got a six-pack and a BMW here, we love you. But I'm just saying, you know, amen. We're just playing. And so here is this gift wrap. And so you make a decision based upon the gift wrap. And then you marry. And then you open the box and there's a lemon. You open the box, there's nothing there. And the problem is that we should have maybe looked a little bit deeper than the gift wrapping before we committed ourselves to somebody. Listen, and let me throw this out there. There's one thing, and I'm going to speak more about this next week, but there's one thing. Once you start to get physical with people, your mind, you lose your mind. Did you know that? There's a way that we're wired that once you start getting physical, let me just say it as it is. Once you start having sex with people, or you look at someone for sexual gratification, you lose your mind a bit. You cannot, you're no longer judging things. You're no longer thinking about how, what's in the box. You're just, yeah, it's a whole other box you're talking about. This is why when people make decisions based upon the gift wrapping, it's dangerous. Because God, you know, let me just throw this out there. God has done amazing things through people that don't really look that much. Think about Abraham. Abraham's this old dude wandering in the desert, in the Middle East. And God says, listen, this guy's going to be a mighty nation. And today, there is a nation called Israel, and we know that comes from Abraham. God said, listen, this one guy, this old guy, he's going to be a mighty nation. Today, God has established a nation. God used David to kill Goliath. David wasn't a big soldier. Have you looked throughout the Bible? The Bible says that Jesus wasn't really a super handsome man. He was just an average man. That's why sometimes they didn't even recognize him or wouldn't know of him. That's why they had to get Judas to actually identify him, because there was nothing about him that would stand out. Jesus was born in a barn. The very things that we would overlook. It doesn't, actually, I was thinking about this now and take it in context. God is not really the best gift wrapper. That's what I'm saying. God is not really, you know, I'm terrible at gift wrapping. Terrible. When it comes to Christmas time, me and my wife, you know, we give each other gifts. And we don't do it that much anymore. We like to keep the money and then go buy things in the sale. Amen. But that's just the way we roll. But, pray for us. We pray for you. But, hey, January, God, I like those January sales, man. That's just the real deal. But, you know, we first got married, so I would go, and I'd buy this and buy that. And so, you don't want someone to guess, so I'd buy this watch or something like that, and then I would wrap it in a towel. So she'd be like, what is this thing? So, not just a towel. I'd put wrapping paper around it, but that was like to hide it, throw her off the scent. Some people are like, no, you really are bad at wrapping. If you wrapped it in a towel, No, wrap it in a towel, and then I'd gift wrap it. But then I'd wrap it in a towel, and then I'd just plonk it on the wrapping paper, and I would just roll it on the wrapping paper, and then I would put sellotape with one and sellotape with the other. So it's like a massive cracker. And it just looked mad. It didn't look like a cracker. It just looked like a massive sweet. You know, it just looked crazy. But that's, you know, in a way, God is not really into the gift wrapping. Because to me, I'm not really into gift wrapping. My wife on the other hand is different. If we're ever doing something for someone and we want to give a gift or something, and at Christmas time I'll be like, all right, let me wrap some of the presents, and I start wrapping. My wife just comes in and she just intercepts me. She's like, no. The corners need to go first, that corner needs. And so she's into the gift wrapping. God really is not big on gift wrapping. He's not massive. He's not so much about the outside. He uses people that we would overlook. He uses places that we would overlook. That's how he is. But we can be distracted by the outside. The danger of this is we become very shallow. I cannot tell you the amount of people that I've heard over the 21 years of my salvation that have got into a relationship with people. And when you ask them, why are you in this relationship? What is it that you like about them? What is it? And they'll say things like, oh, they're nice. They'll say things like, oh, they're funny. They're so funny. They're romantic. In 1946, there was a guy, his name is Theodore Robert Cowell. He died in 1989, about 41 or 42, I think it was. This man died at 42, born in 1946. If people that met him and spoke about him, they said that he was involved in politics. He was up and coming in politics. He seemed to be very charismatic. He got on well with people. He was a law student. Very polite young man. They said that he was handsome. Handsome young man from school. When people would describe him that kind of knew him on the surface, they would say that he was nice. They said that he was funny. They said that, you know, he could be romantic. That was by day. This is who this guy was. But so he's born in 1946. At 1989, he died. At 41, he died in prison. He died because they killed him in the electric chair. He's otherwise known as Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy is one of the biggest serial killers in America. In the span of, I think, 4 years, he killed 35 women. At one of his, when he was on the height of his spree, he was killing a woman every month. This man would kill women. This man would rape women. This man would mutilate women. This man would dismember women. This man would go back and do things with their corpses. This man was sick. But everybody wouldn't believe it was him. What happened was this, is that so many times when they were going around America actually saying, if you've seen anybody that fits this description, tell us. And so people would ring up the police and say, I'm not sure, but there was a guy, his name is Ted Bundy, and so he was on their list. They had a list of about 100 suspects, and he was on one of them for years. But they didn't get him. They really didn't get him until he tried to kidnap a woman, and she escaped from him. And they had a clearer description. Here is a man that is one of the most wickedest men and did some of the most wickedest things on the planet. But from a surface level, from a surface level of never testing character, he was nice. He was funny. He could be romantic. Some women here, the same values that you would only require, these base values, a serial killer can actually fulfill those values. Gift wrapping. The Bible said in our text, the people, he says, you need to be careful. You need to discern the signs. You need to see that some things are going on. He says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. He said they have a form of godliness. From a distance, they have a form of godliness. They kind of look godly. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. About this woman, the strange woman, she said, it says, from her mouth drop honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. She seems so nice and so right. From the outside, everything looks good. But the Bible goes in and it says, listen, there are things that you better understand. Let me get a bit into just the basics here. We're going to deal with some natural things that we can all observe, and you can all do your own research. The characteristics of this guy, Ten Bundy, he was a sociopath. We understand the psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, all of these different people. I read a book recently, The Sociopath Next Door, and basically the premise of the book is that there are many sociopaths in the world. In a crowd this big, there's probably about 20 sociopaths. Scary. Now, let me say this now. A sociopath, not all sociopaths, before we start, before you hold on to your bag, yeah, I need to go to the toilet and you go home. Sociopaths, most of them are not murderers. So we don't have to. But let me give you some red flags to look out for. Sociopathic behavior. A sociopath has an oversized ego of themselves. They have a huge sense of entitlement. Basically, the rules don't apply to them. They deserve it. It's theirs. This is how they are. They have a huge ego of themselves. This is sociopath behavior. They disregard social norms and don't believe society rules apply to them. They try to blame others for their wrongs and failures. It's always someone else's fault. It's never their fault. It's the wife's fault. It's always the wife's fault. It's the husband's fault. It's the boss's fault. It's the colleague's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's the church's fault. It's always someone else's fault because it could never be them. It could never be them. They live by the principles of pleasure. If it's good for me, then it must be good. When you're dealing with someone and you realize that you've got an overinflated ego. They lie. A sociopath is a liar and a manipulator. They lie all the time. They lie on a regular basis. Now, these are not my things. These are, you go online, you can have a look. They lie about things that there's no need to lie about. Have you ever met people? No. People that just lie about things that there's no need to lie about. And they would lie about silly things, and then you would catch them in a lie, and they would make a bigger lie about it. So, you know, you've caught someone, and they're like, oh, I couldn't make it because, you know, the boss told me. And you're like, no, but the boss is not there. Oh, no, what happened was the CIA came into the office, and they took away the boss. And they make these bigger lies to cover. And these are people that will look you dead in the eye and lie to you. And feel no way. Like, come on, man. You know, like, so have you ever come and, can we be honest today? One person said, yeah. Think about this now. Someone would say to you something, and off the bat, you kind of bend the truth. It's a lie. And you feel bad about it straight afterwards. You know, it's like, hey, was you there on time? Yeah. Because you know you're just being lazy, snoozing it. And so you feel bad about it. Sociopath won't. They won't feel bad. They will continue to lie, and they will add lies to their lies to cover it up. A sociopath exhibits superficial charm. They're very charismatic and friendly as long as they're getting their own way. They will be so friendly to you and so charismatic to you, and they will say everything you want them to say. She'll seem so submissive. Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, dear. Yes, yes, yes. He'll seem so romantic. Oh, yes, dear. Yes, dear. because trying to get their own way. This is a superficial. This is why people, if you see it, they can turn it on and turn it off. They can be, as long as they're getting their own way, or as long as they see a way of doing things, then they're going to be really nice and charming. You put them in a round where there's, I don't know, in a work situation where they can get ahead or be promoted or something's going on. You give them a motive, they'll do it. They'll be charming. See, the issue here is a sociopath sees people as things, not people. See, I have an iPhone, I have a computer, I have a car. They're things. I use them to do things with. That's how things are. When they wear out, when my iPhone wears out, it's going to be upgraded. I'm going to upgrade again, probably to another stupid iPhone that looks exactly the same, and they've gassed me, telling me it's better, this is the real one. But I'll upgrade it and get rid of the old one, and I feel no remorse getting rid of the old one. Let it go, who cares? Because it's a thing, I use it, and then I discard it, because it's a thing. The sociopath sees people like that. That's what the sociopath, you're a thing. This is why, is that I'm not connected to you as a person, that I'm going to latch onto you and then use you. And when you've lost your use for me, I will discard you. That's classic sociopathic behavior. And when you think about it, the Bible says that in the last days, we're going to see this behavior continue and continue and actually get worse. In our text, it says they are lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. They are brutal, despisers of good. When I was reading in the book, it says that it could be, you know, there are people that are born with a tendency to be a sociopath. They're born with that. I believe that because we understand that sin has caused a defect in humanity. But also the author says a vast majority of people, it's not nature, it's nurture. Because what it is, it's their upbringing. It's something that happened to them. When you look at this guy, Ted Bundy, what happened was his mom got pregnant with him and then pretended, because this is back in the 1940s, that her son was not her son, it was her brother. And so he grew up thinking that his grandparents were his parents. And then he found out and he spun out of control. Then he goes to college and he's not very well off, and then he meets this woman, and this woman is beautiful and she's well off. And so he starts to have a relationship with her, but what happens is that she's just doing it through college. And as soon as she finishes, she throws him to the curb. And they tracked all the women that he murdered, and every woman that he murdered looked like that woman that kicked him to the curb. Fit her description. Because people are damaged. We live in a culture which actually promotes the sociopath. Listen, they say about sociopaths that these are people that are very driven. They can rise to the top of an organization. They can do many good things because they're so driven and so self and so orientated towards that way. Politicians and leaders of business. But the problem is this, we can say, well, I guess they're doing well, but life is about relationships. And if you don't have relationships, listen, all the money in the world is not going to give you any true peace and any true joy. We live in a culture today which exaggerates and amplifies and celebrates sociopathic behavior. The music that many people listen to, it is about doing things for you, putting you first. And if anyone's in your way, get them out of the way, shoot them, deal with them. Listen, put fear in them. You're never going to do this. Misogynistic, where it's just all about using women as things. Women have become things. The disconnect between a woman that you're with and your mother. Hold up. If anybody talks about your mother, you want to kill them. But the things you do to a woman is a disconnect. That woman is a thing. And even women will allow themselves to become that. You know, the thing is this. You know, when you buy a car, you get this thing called a logbook. And in the logbook, it tells you how many owners that car's had. There are even things where you could do certain checks. There are companies you can go to. If you're going to buy that car, they'll tell you if somebody owes money on that car. Because listen, you could buy a car, and the person that sold it to you hasn't even bought it. They haven't even paid it off. And if you buy that car, the people that own the car, that borrowed them the money, will come and take the car from you. You lose out. And so you can do checks. You could do checks on a house. If you're going to buy a house, you get a survey. There's different surveys that you can do. Last year, or I think the year before, I was speaking to my barber. He had sold his house. He had moved in with his parent for a while just to until he found a house. And for a long time, he was... And every time I'd go there, I'd speak to him. I'd say, you moved yet? No, not yet. And one time he's like, yeah, I'm looking at this house. It's really good. And I think I'm going to go for it. It's exactly what I want. And then I went back weeks later. Did you get the house? He said, no. What happened was I got a survey done. And when you get the survey done, you can get the basic survey or you get the top survey. Top survey will set you back maybe £700. It's a lot of money. Well, for me, it's a lot. Maybe for you. You're a baller. But think about this now. He done the house. And everything about the house he loved, he done it. But the survey was in depth, his extent. And when they did the survey, they found out there was this crack that went from the foundations through the house, through the floor, up. And he said that crack, they realized that could cost you, I can't remember, but I'm sure off the top of my head, in the thousands, man, like 40, 20,000, something like that, a big cost. And so he had to blow it out. What about people? It'd be nice if people came with logbooks, wouldn't it? How you doing? You cool? Yeah. How you doing? Yeah, cool. You got a logbook? How many owners you had? Let's have a look. Woo! No, sis. That's okay, sis. Yeah, keep it moving. Woo! No. No one has MLT. No. I mean, no. Ladies, it'd be nice to have a survey. Yeah. Hold up. Hey, how you doing, sis? No problem. Can we just have a survey, you know? Survey comes back, no, bro, it's okay, because there's a big crack in him. How many know that would be nice if we could have those things? Can I tell you, you can, if you understand the signs, you can. Let me throw some things out to help you guys, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God to help us. Let me give you three things to look for. There are many things. I kind of gave you a little bit of the profile of the sociopath, and listen, don't. You know, the reality is when I was going through the sociopath thing, I was like, my days, maybe I'm a sociopath. There's some, just because we exhibit a little bit, we're talking about a lifestyle, not a one-off. But one of the things you got to look at when you're looking for someone, you need to look at their relationships. Don't just judge your relationship with them. Look at other relationships. See, if I just meet somebody, I'm like, hi, how you doing? You okay? That's fine. This is new. And many times when something is new, we can put on an act. But what you need to do is you've met someone, you're serious about it, you think something's there, you need to look at their other relationships. Remember, if you want to look at their logbook, look at their other relationships. What's the relationship that's like with their family? Our generation has totally lost this. There used to be a time when if you wanted to marry someone, you wanted someone that came from a good family. Now, I'm not talking about, listen, many of us, our family is jacked up. So we're not talking about just coming from a good family, because I can't help what my mom and dad did. I can't help what my uncle or my aunt did or my sister did. But what I'm talking about is look at the relationship they have with those people. Just look at the relationship. Look at how she treats her mum. What's the relationship like with her mum? Have a look at that. Does she respect her mum? How does she speak about her mum? These are telltale signs. She's telling you, I love you. Yeah, it's just me and you, boo. And we're going to get matching tracksuits. Broke at night, tracksuits on, walk down junction. His and hers. Take pictures, put it on your status, Instagram. Okay, that's good. I'm not against that. Do all of that. But listen, matching tracksuits. Take your matching tracksuits and go look at how she treats her mom. Because if she's dissing her mom, she's going to diss you. How does she treat her family? Oh, no. This is telltale sign. How does he treat his mom? Sis, how he treats his mum is going to how he treat you. That's how he's going to treat you in the long run. Is he respectful to his mom? Does he honor his mom? Is he taking care of his mom? Then he'll do that for you. Eventually, how he treats these people is how he's going to treat you. How she treats. Look at the friendships they had. You know, this is the wonderful thing of being in the church. When you find someone, how many Christians should date Christians? The Bible says it. You come to church, you find someone in church. Statistically, your marriage will last longer if you meet someone in church. Yeah, statistically. You can ask, no, I don't believe, no problem. That's the reality. And you meet someone, and so it's a wonderful way of looking, how do they interact with people? How does he interact with people? Does he use people as things? Does she use people as things? What are her relationships like? How come she's got no friends? How come she's got no friends? Like, have you thought about that? How come he's got no friends? No real friendships? People don't look at those things. They get into a relationship with someone and then they suffer. Because the Bible warned us. It's warning us. It's saying, listen, you better look deeper than the surface. You're all about the gift wrapping. Second thing is, how do they resolve conflict? People that throw people away. A bit of conflict comes. I'm not your friend anymore. Well, you was never my friend then. You was never my friend because friends work through things. That's the reality. Life is full of conflict. What does it say? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is forgiving. That you forgive and you move on and you work on things. If we see that, you know, now, this is your friend. 6 months ago, they was your best friend. Year and a half ago, they was your best friend. 2 years ago, and you keep phasing through people like napkins. Throw it away. There's something not right there. And you're just the new napkin. Oh, no, Pastor. Have you seen this? Come on. They know. No, they don't know. They're just gassing you up. Yeah. They're just telling you what you want to hear. Ted Bundy told people that what they wanted to hear. Ted Bundy would go next to people and he would be so weak. He'd be like, he would pretend he would have his arm in a sling. One day, I was looking at it, I had to stop looking at it, it's just still in my head, in this crazy guy. But one day, he this is how wicked was, he murdered 2 women in one day. He got up and he went to the park with a sling and he said to a woman, could you help me to do something with my car? And she'd be like, sure, I'd take her to the car. When she leant over, he'd pull out a crowbar and so you had, what, Pastor, that's gross. Don't tell us that in church. Listen, you need to have that impacted in you. Because right now, somebody can be like, yeah, and you're like, oh, I'm in love. They're so kind and nice. And they made me laugh. Buy a book of jokes if you want to laugh. So, yeah, and then you say, I do. And you turn your back. And with her tongue, she's beating you. How do they treat their other relationships? How do they resolve conflict? This is a big one. How do they react when you tell them no? Sometimes it's good. I remember Pastor Pete used to say this, and I kind of liked it, man. I stole it from my pastor. I mean, you can steal things from your pastor, amen. He would say, when he's dating, he says, sometimes it's good to just say no. Like, for no reason. No. Just to see how they respond. It's good just to say, listen, ladies, sometimes it's good to say no. I'm okay today. I'm not going to call you today. I'm going to be doing some other stuff. What? Yeah. You tell her, oh, no, babe, we're not going there. I know I said I was going to take you there. I'm going to take you there. No? What? Who do you think I am? Yeah? Listen, ain't no man going to tell me. See, if you keep saying yes to somebody, and as long as you tell them yes, they're so nice and kind and loving. And as soon as you tell them no, real them turns up. know is a wonderful revealer. Wonderful revealer. Tell him no sometimes. Tell her no sometimes. Because listen, we want to know what you're really made of. See, the only person that would be nervous about a message like this is a person who's trying to hide what they are. Or a person that already knows who that person is, but they just don't want to, they just don't want to admit who the person is. Let me close with this. You cannot change other people. You can only change yourself. If you will take one thing away from this message, guys, this one thing, you cannot change other people. You can only change yourself. If you are, let me tell you what one of the most hopeless places to be in life is when you're trying to change somebody else. You are in a hopeless place. If you're a guy trying to change a woman here, oh my days. Bro, I feel sorry for you, man. Seriously, I love you, man. I'll pray for you afterwards. If you're a woman here trying to change a man, don't build your relationships on promises of change. I'm going to change. If I date her, she'll change. If I marry him, he'll change. That's not a relationship. That's a crutch. That's what that is, a crutch. You know what a crutch is? Is that people say things like this. Oh, and they'll manipulate you. And maybe some of you even think, oh, it's so romantic. I love it. If it wasn't for you, I can't make it without you. No, that's scary. That's what that is. I don't find it romantic at all. That's scary. You couldn't make it without me. I can't change you. Only you can change you. I can make it without you. What you're saying is that I'm a crutch. It's not a relationship. It's a crutch. Crutches are good to get around. But crutch don't heal the problem. That person is going to be using you as a crutch from now until Jesus comes back. What you've got to do is be like, no, hold up. You've got to change. See, if you see things, if I've spoken about things and you realize, you know what? There's someone, maybe you're here and you want to date someone or even you're dating and you realize God is speaking to you and you realize, listen, there's things in me and there's things in them that we need to deal with. I want to say something and you're not going to like it, but you'll one day love it. Put things on pause. You need to say, listen, I need to fix myself. I need to fix myself. You need to fix yourself. Only you can fix you. Someone else can't fix you. People only change when they want to change. What do I mean by that? I may be doing a bad thing and it's destructive. I'm smoking or drinking or doing things that are destructive to me. You can say everything you want to me, but it comes to a point where I've got to say, I don't want to live here anymore. What does the Bible say about the prodigal son? When he came to himself, the dad didn't go chasing him and say, come on, son, please come out of the pig pen. The Bible says when he came to himself, when he looked at where he was and where he could be, and he made a decision, and at that moment his life changed. And there are people, you've got to come to a place in yourself if you're waiting for someone else to change you, or you're trying to change someone else. It is a fruitless task. Someone comes to you, listen, I'll change for you. No, you change before me. You change and then we'll talk. But you got to change because the Bible tells me, listen, it warns me. Let me tell you where the greatest hope is. Let me speak to some people here. Maybe you're married and you look at things within your own marriage. And you're like, well, I wish I heard this sermon. Let me tell you where the greatest hope is. People can change. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Look what it says here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicator, someone who has sex outside of marriage, nor idolatra, someone who has something else in front of God, nor adulterer, someone who cheats with someone and they're married, nor homosexual, it's a man and woman with woman, who cares what the world says, it says it here, nor sodomite. That's man with man. Nor thief. You take stuff that's not yours. Nor coveter. You lust after stuff that's not yours. Nor drunkard. You know what that is. Nor reveler. You raver. Nor extortioner will inherit the kingdom of God. It says none of these people are going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's a bit hard. But read on. Look at what it says here. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God. See, we can judge, sexual sin and this person and that person and that person. But listen, we were all somewhere in that list. We were all somewhere in that list. There's not one person in this room today that list hasn't touched you in some way. This is what we all were. But he says this. So this is who you were, but now you've been washed. How many know we can be changed? There is no spirit, there is no mindset that God cannot change. Titus 3 verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish. How many know we were once foolish? Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Can I tell you today, anybody can change if they call out to Jesus. Anybody can change. I don't care what thoughts you have, what inclinations you have, we could go down that whole list of all of the things, and you may tick every box and you may leave here thinking, oh no, there's no hope for me. Can I tell you there is hope? That hope is that Jesus can change you. No matter where you are, what you've done, Jesus came to change us. This is God's plan. This is God's plan today. We need to discern. We need to look around and say, you know what? Before I connect myself with somebody, before I tie myself up with somebody, I need to learn the signs. I need to see the signs. Jesus wants to, this is why we were saying our church, get to know Jesus before you look to get to know someone else. And we say this, get to know Jesus to get to know yourself, then get to know someone else. Otherwise, it's false advertising. Because you're telling someone what you are and you don't even know what you are. If I pour you a drink and you want to know the ingredients, you go to the carton. You go to the source. The source of mankind is God. Get to know God so that you can get to know who you are. Before you start to get to know others. If there's people here and you'd say, you know what, I see certain things in my life. Can I tell you that God wants to bring a regeneration to your life? You know, we understand when they talk about regeneration. I see them doing sometimes when you go to the library in Winstanley. They talk about they're regenerating the whole of Winstanley. They're going to change things. They're going to knock things down. They want to rebuild new buildings. Do you know that's what God wants to do with you? He wants to pull down some of those old buildings, the devil. There's old buildings of ego and selfishness and the way you see people and relationships. There's things that would, if you enter into a relationship with someone, they're going to hurt them. They're going to hurt you. But God says by His Holy Spirit, He wants to regenerate you. He wants to create in you a heart which loves people, which is kind to people, which will bless a relationship. There is nothing better than two people loving God, loving each other. That's God's design. Healthy people build healthy relationships. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do, and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.